is a message from one of our Sunday celebrations, and you can find out more about Jubilee by visiting our website at www.jubilee.org.uk.
Thank you. It's been a real joy to be sharing fellowship together in God's presence. And that's what we're doing, isn't it? We're sharing the life of Christ together and really to know his presence during our worship time. I thought it was wonderfully led by the team. And just to applaud, if you like, God's anointing. Because we're of ourselves, we are just earthen vessels, and yet God's grace has been deposited within each one of us for real effect. And it's so lovely to be in that context. Jill and I have actually been to Jubilee before, a number of times actually over the years. Not recently, perhaps we. Perhaps we did something wrong. We weren't invited back. But anyway, in case you don't realise, I've known Graham for over 30 years. In fact, isn't it? Must be 30 years or so. Yeah. And we've known Sarah even longer than that. And it's been a real joy to hear about the progress of Jubilee. And also it's been fascinating for us to see God's grace upon, if you don't mind me, just it's been so wonderful to observe God's grace upon Graham and Sarah and their children, particularly in the way that they've cared for a number of foster children and are doing such a great job in doing that. And I think setting such a great example, really. I know for us in Wolverhampton, we regularly pray for them and really admire all that they're doing. And I know this comes out of the church here as well. So bless you. Thank you for the support that you give them. And it's great to be here with you this morning. Graham's asked me to continue with the series you're looking at, which is Romans. And the first few chapters in Romans particularly emphasize the subject and theme of God's grace. And I want to be building upon that today by continuing where you left off last time. Last time you looked at the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5. I'm going to move on now in Romans chapter 5 from verse 12 to verse 21. As we read this, if you haven't read this before, because obviously in a church, different people come at it from different angles and different experiences of the Lord. As we read this together, you may think this is quite complicated, but I trust that as we go through this together, it will all make sense. So, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if, by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is a deliberate contrast here between Adam and Christ. Now, Adam is the root or the type of all humanity. In that when he sinned as the head of the human race. He therefore made us what he became, sinners. And we prove the reality of that by the sinful way we lived. And so we were in Adam, and therefore were blighted by the consequences of sin and guilt. And no amount of human effort could change that. We couldn't make ourselves right with God. We couldn't get ourselves out of Adam. However, when we are born again, when we receive a spiritual birth, we enter a completely new root and a new family line with Jesus Christ as the head and the source of that line. Just as Adam's sin and shame were put into our account, and all of our attempts to live righteously could not free us. So now, by grace, all of Jesus's righteousness has freely been put into our account, has been credited to us. I'm sure, as you've heard throughout this series, God has accepted us purely on the basis of the righteousness of Christ. Now, let's be clear about something important here. We are either in Adam or we are in Christ. There is no middle ground. If we are still in Adam, then we remain as guilty sinners. If we are in Christ, then we are totally righteous before God. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He is our only righteousness. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the problem for many Christians is that we often feel condemned. And the reason we often feel condemned is because of our performance. Your performance is often perhaps similar to mine. Mine isn't sort of a straight line. Perhaps yours is, but mine isn't. Mine's kind of a bit like this. It's not very consistent. I think it's becoming more consistent, but certainly isn't totally consistent. However, the answer to this issue of condemnation is never to simply try and improve your performance. The answer is always to reckon on our position given to us freely through the grace of Jesus Christ. In fact, legal, lawful condemnation is all to do with being guilty. It has nothing to do with feelings. Nothing to do with feelings. If we, through grace, are declared not guilty by God, then we cannot be condemned. In law, only the guilty person stands condemned. We were guilty, but God sent his Son, and Jesus died in our place. He faced the penalty of our sin. He died so that we may live. So Christ alone is the one who justifies us before God. And if God has declared you and I not guilty, then Satan cannot take us to a higher court, because there is no such thing as a higher court. There is no condemnation because of one reason. We as believers, as Christians, we are in Christ. That has nothing to do with your performance. It's all about grace. God's grace is free, it's unmerited, it's undeserved. And grace is what God provides. Not reluctantly, he loves to provide grace that we need. Verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, that is Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Formerly, death reigned in us because of sin. But now the victory of Christ reigns over us. Now, to reign means to have the power and authority to determine the outcome. We are either guilty or not guilty. With all authority, Jesus has declared the believer in Christ, the believer, to be not guilty. The consequences of our sin meant that death used to reign over us. But now, verse 17 tells us that we reign in life simply through the person and provision of Jesus Christ. And so it's not about, or it's not according to your performance that we reign in life. We reign in life by counting on, whether we're doing well or not, by counting on the performance of Jesus Christ. Jesus has made you right with God. He has made you righteous. He has made you holy. And it is Jesus who sustains that. He is the one who sustains your righteousness. Now, if Satan can get our attention away from our righteous foundation and root in Christ, instead onto the ground of our feelings or our efforts, then we will fall into Satan's trap of condemnation. As verse 18 says, it is through the obedience of the one man, Christ, that the many will be made righteous. Jesus alone has made us right before God. And verse 20 tells us that the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. So what does that mean? Well, the first part of this section is dealing with the historic period from Adam to Moses. Moses was the one who was given God's law to write down. Once the law had been given, it made everything much worse. And the reason why it became much worse is because sin suddenly became measurable. Once God had given actual commands about what to do and about what not to do, people moved from simply being sinners by nature to suddenly becoming actual lawbreakers. So the existence of God's law, what it did was, the existence of it criminalized our sin. It took it to a new level. And from that time, we weren't just sinners by nature, we became lawbreakers. We became rebels. And in that sense, sin increased. Because the law revealed to us just how sinful we are and how much we needed a saviour. Verse 20 also contains another extraordinary statement, which says this: where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Now, this statement actually makes logical sense to the definition of what grace is. And yet, it's still a very astonishing verse. You know, it reminds us again, grace is free. Grace remains free. And grace cannot be overwhelmed by our sinfulness. Where sin increased, the verse says, grace increased all the more. And that's what it says. This is not me, this is the Bible. This is what it says. Just take that in for a moment. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Just let that, you know, go around the cogs a little bit for a moment. Think about that. Now, in chapter 6, presumably next time you come back to this letter, in chapter 6, Paul deals with an abuse of the fact of that fact, where some were claiming that sin, therefore, must be actually good for you because it provides God with more opportunity to reveal his grace. But that is erroneous. That is wrong. Sin is sin. Sin displeases God. What does sin do? Sin spoils our relationship with him because sin is something we do without God. That's what sin is. Sin is something we do without God. But if we sin, as 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That is spoken there to the church, to Christians. If we confess our sin, if you sin, if you confess it, what will he do? He will forgive it. What he forgives, he cleanses, he purifies, he restores. That's God's grace, that's God's love towards you and me. So when we are doing really well, and when we're not doing very well, we live in grace by living by faith, not in us, not in the church, not in the leaders of the church. We live by faith in Jesus moment by moment. That's how we live by grace. We live by faith in Jesus moment by moment. The biggest battle going on in the early church was the battle between law and grace. And Paul took on that battle between law and grace in the churches that he cared for. And you know something? You and I have to equally take on that battle today in your own life and in your own thought life. That's where the battle is, in your thought life in particular. We are saved, completely saved, by faith in Jesus, not by law, not by works, not according to our performance. Legalism, the opposite of grace, legalism is anything that suggests you have to do or observe something to make yourself holy or to try and make yourself more acceptable or holy to God. It's faith in Christ that makes you holy, entirely holy. Have you got that? Do you believe that? Faith in Christ makes you holy. I'll say it again. Faith in Christ makes you holy, entirely holy. To try and add to that is actually to subtract from it. So anything that is motivated with an aim to try and make yourself more acceptable to God is legalism and is wrong. For example, this may shock you, prayer, for example, is a very good thing. Prayer is a good thing because it's about our relationship with God. But if you are praying in order to try and become more acceptable to God, or to try to become more holy in terms of God's sight, you've missed it. It's wrong. This is very, very important because our old nature will always feel an attraction to the law. Why is that? It's because the law enables us to measure how successful I have been. For example, how good I've been this week, or how bad I've been this week. I've done this and this, and or in some ways even worse, how good I've been this week. I've done this and this and this for Jesus. And you know what happens? A little bit of pride creeps in. A little bit of self-righteousness begins to creep in. And when we become self-righteous and proud, we inevitably then become legalistic. And we prove that by then becoming judgmental towards other people. People of grace are not judgmental towards other people. People of grace bring comfort, as we heard throughout their worship time. They bring strength, they bring help, they bring love, they bring truth, they bring encouragement. Legalistic people end up becoming judgmental about others. Whereas we know that Jesus came to fulfill all of the demands of the law. You know, grace, it finds all of its initiative in the giver, in Jesus, none in the receiver. You know, all other religions and every other system requires man to do something. They make their promises conditional, and instead of enduring assurance, they bring instead enduring uncertainty. The grace of Jesus Christ completely forgives, freely justifies, and never condemns. And that's worth an amen, isn't it? Thank you. You see, grace does not and will never highlight our performance in terms of what we do or don't do. Grace has one focus. It highlights the performance of Christ and the position that he has won for us on the cross. Throughout the New Testament, our position of being sons is mentioned again and again. For example, In Galatians 3, verse 26, it says, you are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So that means that because of Jesus, and only because of Jesus, you and I have received adoption. There is only one way in to the Christian life. And that one way in is to be born again, to receive a spiritual birth. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So everything you need is found in him. It's not found in a system. It's not found in a rota or a list of things. It's found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was only one way in through the cross. And there is only one result of being in adoption. Adoption is not about performance. It's all to do with our position or our standing in the family of God. And so grace is actually the foundation and the basis of God's new covenant. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 21, it says that God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. A wonderful exchange took place on the cross. All of my sin was placed upon him, and he died in my place. And in return, all of his holiness and righteousness was placed into my account. He was the one. He's the one who has made us right before God. Going back as I begin to wrap this up, going back to Romans chapter 4, just for a moment. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Another incredible statement is made in Romans 4, verse 5. I'm sure it was drawn out before, but it says this, that God justifies the guilty. Now, in Exodus 23, verse 7, God's law states, I will not justify the wicked. However, in Romans 4, verse 5, it says, God justifies the guilty. Why is that? Well, one reason is that through the increase of sin, the reality is there is no one innocent for him to justify. We're all guilty. We're all sinners. In Romans 4, verses 7 to 8, there is the quote from Psalm 32, which gives us King David's confession to God after his terrible sin with Bathsheba. You know, David had lusted, he had committed adultery, he had murdered, and yet David is still able to say this, that God credits righteousness apart from works. I mean, that wasn't a flippant thing. David was deeply repentant, but he was also deeply, deeply, deeply a man of faith in the word and the promises of God. And so my challenge to you today is this. Are you a man or woman of faith in the word and promises of God for your life? Because God credits righteousness apart from works. And David believed that, just as Abraham believed that, where it says in Genesis 15, verse 6, it says that Abraham did one thing. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So a grace lifestyle means to believe God's word, and to believe God's word to the extent that you live all your life simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Build your life on what God says. Don't build your life on your feelings. Don't build your life on the lies of the enemy. Don't build your life upon last week's performance or last year's performance or the performance of a decade ago. You're still trapped by it. No, build your life on what God's word says. Jesus conquered death, which means that your sin and death has been conquered. As verse 17 says, we reign in life. How do we do that? Through putting on this Superman thing? No. We reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Let's just stand and pray together. I don't know whether the band have got a song or something to perhaps come up with in a moment. But let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we just love your word. Lord, your word, in some ways, it shocks us. It opens us up afresh to the depth, something more of the depth of your love and your grace for us. We sometimes have a very small glimpse of how much you love us and your grace, but your who can measure the love of Christ? Who can measure its width, its height, its depth? Your love is just incredible. And I pray this morning that if anyone here in this room has kind of put a ceiling on your future, and you look at the future, you look at people around you, look at your perspectives perhaps, and your hopes and your dreams, and you think, no, it can't happen to me. The things that God said to me years ago, it can't happen because I did that a few months ago or a few years ago, and I just messed it all up, and I keep messing it all up. And you've believed that lie from the enemy. Because God's grace doesn't just forgive us, but it cleans us up. It makes us new. It makes us fresh. It makes us sparkling clean. You can't be any newer or purer or holier or more righteous than what Jesus has made you to be. And that is all based upon his performance. And perhaps lift your hands up before him and just receive that to yourself. And if there's an area of your life where you said, Lord, this aspect of my life, I've kind of seen it, as it were, separate from your grace. Now you need to repent from that. That's doing it without God. Lord, I choose. I come to you again and bring into you the memory of what I've done, the stuff in the past. And I say, Lord, I brought that to your cross. I brought that to you. And I lay it before you again. And I thank you that what I lay before your feet, I don't pick up again. Thank you that you transform the desert into a great, prosperous place, a beautiful place, a place of crocuses, a place of new life. In our lives, in each person's life here, Lord, where there is dryness, dullness, condemnation lurking in the corners, in Jesus' name, we take that off. You've got to take that off through the power of God's word. You do that by believing God's word. Don't believe your word, you believe God's word. Who's bigger, you or God? Settle that one. Who's the Lord, you or him? He is the Lord, which means we're not. So we bow before your word. We bow before your word to us today. And we revel in your grace. We thank you so much. And we thank you that it is through Christ alone that we stand together today as your sons holy, pure, accepted, and loved. We praise you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this Jubilee Church podcast. Feel free to check out our website at www.jubilee.org.uk or come along on any Sunday morning.